From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 83, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker. What a show we have for you today. Former Major League pitcher Edwin Jackson. He'll talk baseball and no-hitters and his former team, the White Sox. Plus, Mr. No-Hitter as far as broadcasting, Dave Sims, the Mariners play-by-play man who has called more no-hitters than seemingly any other broadcaster. That and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
Say it isn't so. Yes, we got another no-hitter in the major leagues. Wow. Are we on a record pace? That's five no-nos in the course of 6 weeks of the baseball season. Spencer Turnbull for the Tigers. No hits to Seattle Mariners. They give no hit for the second time in 14 days in May, which is insane. But here we are. This is happening more and more because guys are just swinging and missing. More strikeouts than hits. Collective batting average in the major leagues of 231. Guys throwing 100 miles an hour. I mean, it's like a mismatch. Baseball deadened the ball, supposedly, right? They wanted to stop the home runs. I don't know what's going on. I love well-pitched baseball. No-nos are exciting. But this is too much, too often. I love ice cream, but I don't want it every day.
Number two.
Your mean Mercedes hit a 3-0 pitch for a home run in a blowout game. And it pissed off his manager, Tony La Russa, with the Chicago White Sox, who called the young player clueless, breaking an unwritten rule in baseball, and now there's a rift in the clubhouse. Some of the players aren't happy with the old-school 76-year-old La Russa for throwing the kid under the bus. La Russa says that there isn't a rift. He said that on Wednesday in the clubhouse. It's much to do about nothing. But here's that clash that people were talking about the 76-year-old La Russa and this young, swagged-out Chicago White Sox team that currently has the best record in the American League, a really good team. This is another one of those things. We saw this with Fernando Tatis doing the same thing and getting criticized, you know, I don't know. I think we got to let these young kids play. And if you don't want the guy to hit it, don't throw it over the plate. I just don't understand it sometimes. I think we've evolved. And I think you just have to let people play and let the chips fall where they may. I'm not having a big problem with Mercedes.
Number three.
I'm going to give Shohei Ohtani a new nickname. Shohei me the money, Ohtani. How about that? I mean, this guy has come as advertised. I should say better than advertised. He's finally put it together. He's finally healthy. And what is he doing? He leads the major leagues in home runs with 14. On pace to hit 55. He's pitching his butt off. He has a 2.10 ERA. Major league hitters are only batting 126 against him. He's only given up 11 hits. In more than 25, in at least 25 innings, he has been lights out. Incredible. I know the Angels stink, and they're going to hurt because Mike Trout's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. So the chances of them like making the playoffs or being a good team just aren't good. But don't tell me Ohtani can't be the American League MVP. I'm sorry. Even on a bad team, if this dude keeps up what he's doing, he will indeed be the American League most valuable player. We haven't seen a player since Babe Ruth in the 20s doing what Show Me the Money Ohtani is doing.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast former Major League pitcher Edwin Jackson, who pitched for 14, a record 14 Major League teams, broke in with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and finished up with the Detroit Tigers in 2019. Edwin, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
My man, Rob, how you doing, man? It's a pleasure to be on board with you, man. You know, I'm just living life one day at a time.
No doubt. And for people who don't know, Edwin Jackson was an all-star in 2009, won a World Series with the Cardinals in 2011, and he pitched a no-no in 2010 while he was pitching for the White Sox. And that's what I really want to get into, Edwin. How much would you love to be pitching now with what's going on? We've seen 5 no-hitters in the first 6 weeks of the Major League season. Why do you think this is happening?
Man, that's a good question. I have no clue. But whatever it is, man, you still have to go out there, you know, and pitch a game without giving up a hit. I don't necessarily have the answers, but I know there's been a lot of no-hitters already to start a season, with the season being so young. Probably, if I had to guess, there's probably the most no-hitters that's been to start a season to be this early in the season.
It definitely is. It just seems uncanny. When you think about your no-hitter, what do you think about the most? Was when you get to the ninth inning, was there another point during your no-hitter where you were like, am I going to get this? Did you think about it? Did you not think about it? We know your teammates don't bring it up to you. They stay away from you. Give me some thoughts on your no-no and how special was that to you?
I mean, the first thing that came to mind is I talked the whole game. I mean, I had 8 walks, so we talking from the very beginning of the game, you know. So it was unorthodox in that sense. You know, I know a lot of people, everybody stay away from you and all that, but I was going up to people talking, people coming up to me talking. I was just trying to get through the game, honestly. I had no clue. I had no hitter until about the 7th inning. I was just trying to figure out a way to get out of the 1st inning. But that's what I say. So I had so much things going on around me, it probably helped that I didn't know I had a no-hitter until the later innings. And by then, I just kept it going, man. I didn't change anything. I didn't want to make it weird. So I continued to talk throughout the game just to keep my mind right. And the ninth inning, I just jumped on the mound and like, hey, if it's meant to be, it's going to happen. And that's the approach I took when I jumped on the mound the ninth inning. I didn't try to overdo it. I didn't try to think about it too much. I just kind of left it in the hand of the baseball guys.
And when you got that final out, what was the feeling? Was it euphoric? Was it relief? How did you feel?
Man, it was exciting. That was the best worst game I've ever had. It was the best worst game I ever had. I think in the 3rd inning, I walked the bases loaded, but to finish it, man, and I looked up at the pitch count, and I was like, damn. Talked to the manager throughout the game, and he's like, we have an issue. I was like, no, we don't have an issue, AJ. I don't argue with managers, but I ain't coming out this game until I give up a hit or a home run. But to finish it, man, it was relief. It was excitement. It was joy. It was all the above at the same time.
No doubt. That was a pretty special moment. I still remember it very vividly. Our guest is Edwin Jackson, the former Major League pitcher, pitch for a record 14 different teams. And I want to ask you, because the no-hitter was when you were with the White Sox, I want to ask you about the White Sox, who are playing really good baseball, but they're embroiled in a little bit of a controversy with where are you on unwritten rules? And, you know, Tony La Russa wasn't happy that Mercedes took a swing at 3-0 and hit a home run. Where are you on all that? Do you buy into the unwritten rules that the old players are into, or are you over that?
Come on, it just depends on, man. I know the game is evolving. I know it's hard to get stuck on the game with the unwritten rules. And that instance, I saw it and I heard about it. That's a little tricky, man. The score, it was already a blowout. You got a position player out there pitching. I guess it is what it is. Would I have done it? I wouldn't have swung 3-0 in that position. It's hard to say how I really feel about it because, it's different. But I know me personally, I wouldn't have swung. And had I been on the field, maybe I would have had a problem with it. But the game has changed so much, man. I hate to sound old school, but you don't want to lose the old school at the same time. But it was a little, that's a questionable situation. I feel like maybe had it been early in the game, if the score is a little different, then it might not be as bad, or 2-1, but 3-0 at that point of the game, that might be on the borderline, man.
Yeah, that's a tough spot to call, right, in a game that's out of hand. Let me ask you about Tony La Russa at 76 years old. Are you surprised that the White Sox are doing as well? They got a really young team, and they bring in an old school guy who's already been inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. I thought it was going to be a disaster. It's worked out so far. Are you surprised?
Oh, man, at the end of the day, like you say, the manager, he can manage, but they had a team. They got a group of guys out there that want to go play. The manager obviously brings an aspect to the team, but those dudes, they're going to do it. I feel like they want to go out there and they want to play, man. They want to go out there. They want to be respected as a team. They want to be respected as players. So I'm not surprised that the team going out there playing well like they are, man, because that's the group of guys that they have. I've always said, even before they even signed the manager, I was like, man, the White Sox will have a good squad. They're going to have a nice little team with the personnel that they have out there. So I'm not surprised that, you know, they are doing it.
All right. His name is Edwin Jackson. We thanks, Edwin, man. Appreciate you, E-Jack, for all the knowledge and your time, man. Thanks so much.
No problem, Rob. Always, man. Always a pleasure. All right.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
We're nearly 2 months into the 2021 season now, so the sample sizes aren't so small anymore. We can finally make some real judgments on players who have improved dramatically from last season and those who have faltered. Baseball Savant has a handy year-to-year changes leaderboard for everyone interested. Here are a few highlights. On the hitting side, it's been a rough year for offense, but these guys have figured out some of last year's flaws. The ageless Yadier Molina leads the league in increased exit velocity from last year, jumping up over 6 miles per hour on average from 85 to 91. While it's no surprise, the biggest increase in barrel rate from last year to this year goes to the Cubs' former MVP Chris Bryant, nearly 6% to almost 17% as his OPS has jumped 400 points. Shohei Ohtani, by the way, right behind him with a 10.5% increase. On the mound, no starter has increased his whiff percentage more than Arizona's Madison Bumgarner. A lost season last year in the desert, he's striking out nearly 28% of batters this year, up from 18 a year ago. And you want to know how good Gerrit Cole has been this year? He was one of the leaders in allowing solid contact last year, and this year, he's still second among all starters in solid contact improvement, allowing just 3%, down from 12 a year ago. With the weather warming, we'll see if the hitters can catch up.
And what that ball is!
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, from MLBBro.com, here's J.R. Gamble.
Albert Pujols had an RBI single in his first game with the Dodgers since leaving the Angels. People were saying he's washed up. J.R., is it foul or fair to say that the addition of Albert Pujols increases the Dodgers' chances of winning the National League West?
Fair.
It's a fair ball.
As his age and skill set has declined to an extent, Pujols didn't fit into the Angels' plans with Shohei Ohtani rising to star status and the window for the Angels to seriously contend with Pujols basically closed. They're playing Mike Trout a huge bag and want to start giving some of the younger guys, such as talent-laden Joe Adell, a chance to contribute sooner rather than later. However, Pujols isn't washed. His bat still has pop, and adding him to the Dodgers lineup, who are already like a super team, let's be real. Look at all the MVPs and the Silver Sluggers and Gold Glovers and Cy Young winners that they stride out there every day. Pujols doesn't have much to do. So if you really grasp baseball and understand the game, the Dodgers just upped the ante. Because the guy is still intelligent as hell, experienced as heck, and he can mash. Pujols does have 5 home runs. It's not like they're blowing fastballs by this guy. You still have to pitch to him carefully. So now, all you need Pujols to do, if you're the Dodgers, is get some key hits, get hot when he's up. His name alone commands respect, and lengthen your lineups. It definitely lengthens your lineup and adds an intimidation factor. As if the Dodgers needed anything else. They're 2 games out and people are panicking. It's almost comical. Pujols is a factor, and his presence definitely increases the Dodgers' chances of winning the National League West. That's a no-brainer. Especially in the postseason, he can be very effective because there's nothing that he hasn't seen and he's gonna play. Great move for the Dodgers, getting Pujols.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Turn money into more money.
Now it's time for Betting on the Bases with Dave Gaska.
Love that money. Love that money.
One team we're going to be looking at to fade throughout the rest of the next 2 months is the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I say that because Mike Trout's been placed in the injured list. He's got an injured calf, so he's going to be out at least a month and a half, maybe even 2 months. With that being said, Angels get the A's in Anaheim. Chris Bassett versus Jose Quintana in that pitching matchup. I'm taking Oakland to win this game straight up. Also, the Dodgers have been playing better baseball. They've woken up from the dead a little bit, and they're also at San Francisco. Now, you know they want to put it to the Giants, considering the fact the Giants are the top dog right now in the National League West. I'm taking the Dodgers in that game on Friday night. Other one I'm looking at as well is an over and under Kansas City and the Detroit Tigers. That's the first game of the night. I'm taking the over in that ballgame. If you want one game that's a little bit out on the limb, I'm going to look at the Chicago White Sox. They're taking on the New York Yankees. I'm taking the Yankees in this one. They will be a small, small favorite matched up with Carlos Rodon and the White Sox.
Take out the papers in the trash.
Yeah. It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's trash comes from @LBC_Bruin. He tweeted me this. Tony La Russa for living in the past. He lost a lot of respect from the clubhouse for his comments. If I was the GM, I'd fire him right now. If you want your trash read on Inside the Parker, hit me up on my Twitter @RobParkerFS1.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto. If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast Dave Sims, who is the play-by-play man for the Seattle Mariners, longtime broadcaster, also did Sunday Night Football on the radio. Dave, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Rob, good to hear your voice, man. I'm doing well. Thank you very much. How you doing?
I'm doing great, but if I'm a pitcher, I want you behind the mic because for whatever reason, you have been money. And on Tuesday night, you saw Spencer Turnbull pitch a no-hitter against the Mariners for the Tigers. And that was the second no-hitter you called and the second one against the Mariners in 14 days. Dave, what is going on here?
You know, teams go through streaks. They just don't happen to go through streaks like this where you get no hit in 2 weeks. I think they'll bust out of it. But right now, they're sporting the lowest batting average in the league, and there's nowhere to go but up. And there's too much talent on this team. I'm not saying that, they're not the 27 Yankees, but they're better than this, and I think it'll be proven. That'll be proven to the case.
Your record, run it down. How many perfect games and no hitters have you? I mean, I've been covering baseball for 30 some odd years, and I only saw one when David Wells pitched a perfect game against the Twins at Yankee Stadium. But you've seen like 6 or 8 of them. How many have you seen now?
Well, I've got two perfect games: Phillip Umber against the Mariners in 2012, Felix Hernandez against Tampa Bay. Those are the two perfect games, and I've got 6 no hitters.
That is incredible.
No hitters. Three of them are are combined. Two of them are combined no-nos. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you know, when you sign up for a gig like this, the great thing about baseball, I mean, I say it almost every day on the air, you just never know what's going to happen when you show up at the ballpark. And this has happened. It just so happens to be happening to us right now.
I was looking at your Wikipedia page, and it says that when you did call those two perfect games, you become the first broadcaster ever to call two perfect games in the same Major League Baseball season. That's pretty impressive.
Doesn't get me on the subway back home in New York, but I'll take it.
That's for sure. No doubt about it. So what is going on in baseball, Dave? I mean, obviously, batting averages are way down. I think 231 is collective batting average. You know, the league was supposed to try to deaden the ball to stop all the home runs. And, you know, the strikeouts, of course, are outpacing hits. Where are we and why are we seeing all these no-hitters now? We've had five no-hitters in Major League Baseball in a matter of 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's, you know, the approach to hitting, when you look around, you're not seeing small ball, you're not seeing guys shortening up with two strikes. I mean, everybody is, you know, the launch angle right now is king in baseball, and guys are trying to lift and separate, and, you know, it catches up to you, and, you know, there is not, you know, you're wearing a black hat back in the day if you were striking out like crazy. Well, that's not a factor anymore. It's just part of the game. And, you know, it's just one of the cycles that baseball is going through right now. And I tell you what, if you're a pitcher and if you've got command of two pitches, you're in great shape. If you can command three and four like Ohtani can and like Bauer can and, you know, the super elite guys, you're going to be in good shape. Now, this kid last night, you know, 2 years ago, he lost, what was it? He lost 17 games. You know, again, stuff happens in baseball, and this is just another example.
Our guest is Dave Sims, the play-by-play man for the Seattle Mariners, joining us here on the podcast. And let's talk about the Mariners really quickly. Coming into Wednesday night, they were 21-22. Kind of hit the skids. They've lost seven of their last 10. But is this a good team? They're in third place. They're not out of anything. Can they bounce back and make a run for the division or the playoffs, Dave?
Yeah, I think that they, you know, I think they can still make some noise in this division. Houston and Oakland haven't run away and hit yet. We've got a couple big series at the end of this month into the first week of June against the Athletics. That'll tell a lot. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, guys are learning. Some of these guys are learning on the job. So, you know, we're going to find out. I mean, it's difficult to predict baseball. I mean, I'll tell you how whack baseball is. Shane Bieber comes in here the other day, and he was dealing. And the Mariners knocked him out 4 2/3. Now you turn around and bring Detroit in, and Detroit's, you know, not an august team by any stretch of the imagination. And they throw a no-hitter and take the first two games of the series. So, and who knows what could happen here tonight. We got Logan Gilbert, our number one pitching prospect. Hey, he may shove it on them tonight. So we're going to find out.
All right. We appreciate your time. He is Dave Sims, the excellent play-by-play man for the Seattle Mariners. And, Dave, we'll definitely see you down the road, my friend. Thank you so much.
Look forward to it, Rob. Keep up the good work, man.
Batter up!
It's Jones in for Baseball.
Bravo!
A fan's take on the game we love.
You're out!
Hello, everyone. This is Jones, MLB Bro, content reporter. I hope everybody out there is doing well. With 1/4 of the season into the books, we're finally picking up speed. That being said, we're starting to learn who's really about that life and who isn't. One team who stands out to me is the Chicago White Sox. Now, I could point out a lot of individual statistics from the team, but baseball's a team sport. So let me hit you with a few facts real quick from the White Sox as a team. They rank second in the majors in average, OPS, on base, RBIs, and win percentage. But hold up, that's without Eloy Jimenez and Luis Roberts, two young studs that were making a name for themselves. Now combine that with the fact that they're fifth in the majors in team ERA, and you have yourself currently the most complete team in baseball thus far.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out. Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Reason number 999 why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL. Yes, it has to do with the no-no. I know it's a theme that all over the podcast this week. But yes, you can go to baseball games forever and never see a perfect game or ever see a no-hitter. And then you could go and then be able to witness one, watch one. It is something to watch. It is one of those memorable moments. I mentioned earlier in the podcast that I was there when David Wells pitched a perfect game against the Minnesota Twins at Yankee Stadium on a Sunday afternoon. I could feel it as the game went on, the seventh and eighth inning. I was like, this dude is going to make it happen. He had that kind of electric stuff. So, yes, you may never, ever see a perfect game or a no-hitter. You could go to baseball games forever. It is one of those unique things. And I don't know if you could say that about other sports and going to see something that just doesn't happen that often, something so unique in that way. And it's a memory that you'll never shake. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker. Out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.